Welcome to Winning the Challenger Sale, a podcast where we take you beyond the groundbreaking book that transformed the world of sales and share practical advice on how to show up like a challenger in your customer conversations. I'm your host, Jen Allen. Our goal here is simple: equip you and your teams to win more deals by harnessing your inner challenger. This is part of Challenger Inc.'s suite of products designed to give you everything you need to go from idea to action to meeting and exceeding your sales goals. Now let's get started. Welcome back to this week's episode of Winning the Challenger Sale. I'm your host, Jen Allen, and our theme for September is driving urgency for change. Specifically, we're talking about how you can motivate action with mid to late stage opportunities, especially when progress stalls. Now, today, I am so thrilled to welcome my very new friend and very special guest, Amelia Taylor. Amelia, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I am super pumped to be here. I have been following all the things, stalking all the things, and being like, I got to jump on here. So thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
My pleasure. Now, about like five or six people were like, you got to get Amelia on the show. So like I said, Amelia is a newer friend of mine. I spent a little time getting to know her. So for those of you that don't know her, she's got a really rich history, starting off as an SDR, moving into a really successful several rounds of AE roles. She's currently a coach with Trainio. She is a co-author of the book Heels to Deals, which I like never go a day on my LinkedIn feed without seeing some positive response to that book. It's amazing. And on top of that, she was just voted one of Demandbase's top 25 AEs to follow. And big news, as of yesterday, this date of recording, our girl's officially a free agent by choice. So get That's lined right. up because yes. I know by the end of this, you're going to have a lot of DMs. Yes.
Amazing. Yeah. Yes. It's freeing to be free. And it's also terrifying, but it's also like, okay, let's do this. You know, like I did it to myself, so let's do it. I'm excited. I'm really excited. So
I know you're not going to be a free agent for long. So before we dig into the topic, Amelia, let's help our listeners get to know you a little bit better. Tell us all about your origin story into the world of sales and how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, absolutely. So I fell into sales, like I think 90% of people say, right? That I just stumbled in. I am one of those. I stumbled in and it was where I reached out to a few friends because I was in a place in my life where I thought, okay, where in the world can I make the most money? Because I was a newly single mother of two little girls and realized if I am not putting a roof over their heads, who is? I said, when push comes, little people are looking at you. You've got that mom power. I'm going to lift the car kind of thing. So I said, okay, I'm going to reach out to some friends, figure out what they're doing, who's making the money, who's doing things and they enjoy what they're doing. A few friends are like, software sales, got to go to SaaS. I'm like, what's that? You know, what is an SDR? You got to start as an SDR. Okay, great. I interview a few places. I jump into a company. I'm in St. Petersburg, Florida, and it was an outsourced BDR company. I interviewed, didn't even know the acronym SDR. So I told myself like from the very get-go, okay, I'm going to be the very best and then I'm going to be even better the next month. So I'm not just going to say I can, but I will. So I wrote everything down daily, what I was going to accomplish. And that was like the biggest thing for me. And then just ask people every day, how do I get better? What am I doing? What are you doing? Can you give me feedback? And all pride, ego, anything out the window, because that's what you have to do if you want to be successful in sales. I mean, that I realized that really early on, and asking for feedback was what's going to make me be better. So I made everyone have a cap on their commission, which was after my first month, because I just went crazy with saying I was going to be the best and went a little too crazy, I guess, but my pockets liked it. So I realized, okay, maybe I am kind of good at this. I can do this and capitalize on it. So then it was another, COVID hits, another opportunity shows up and I ended up creating my own role within the organization to where I was working just strategic accounts with sales directors. And then I ended up doing multiple things, but I was seeing from like kind of this bird's eye view looking down, okay, here's sales, here's marketing, here's misalignment here. okay, here's the excuse. So I started learning how certain things were not supposed to go, which I feel like it's equally as important to learning, or more so important learning how things should go, right? Kind of like who you are, who you're not, equally as important. So I learned a lot about what not to do and knowing what to do, which put me light years, I feel like, above, you know, where I was even the year before. You know, jump a year later, I'm helping coach within Rev League, which was a part of Rev Genius at the time. And so I was in there and I was approached by a company that I recently just was with and left, and it's a RevOps shop. And so I didn't know the first thing when it came to RevOps, which I think a lot of people don't. There's a lot of definitions out there. But I said, you know what? Like, challenge accepted, and you believe in me, and let's do this. This visual has always stuck with me. It's like, okay, here's my garden, and here are the seeds I'm planting with each individual, whether I'm selling to them, I'm helping them, or just being a cheerleader for them in some way, shape, or form. It all comes back around. So it's watering like each one, these seeds that you're planting in your garden, which can be super fruitful and super like deep, wide, whatever. It can be all those things if you nurture it the right way and water the plants when they need to be watered, and knowing if it's like, oh, a little sunlight, a lot of them, right? You know, like knowing those things. The people that I've met along the way have helped me tremendously to where I am saying, hey, single mom too, free agent over here, let's do this kind of thing, because I believe in what I bring to the table, based off of saying I can't and I will, and those that are in my corner for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the fact of how I even came to find out about you is because there were so many people that were singing your praises unprovoked.
So nice.
Right? You know, it's like, there's absolutely something to that. That's not something people tend to go out of their way for people and do if they don't really, really get lit up by the person they're talking about. And for what it's worth, like, we hired a RevOps leader this year. And I remember they came to us and they were like, we hired a RevOps leader. I was like, that's so cool. What is that? Like, I have no idea.
What is that? I love it though. That's amazing, because everybody has their own definition of it. So it's really interesting to see. And it's like, maybe I don't know anything about it, but maybe I'm right. Maybe you're wrong. I don't know.
Maybe nobody knows. So that's an awesome history. What are your two daughters' names?
Presley is my almost 8-year-old, and then Rowan is my 6-year-old, who second week of school has been moved 3 times. She said that she's already done. She knows enough about math. And so she's good. I mean, if she wants to be a baby doctor and a mom one day, like, who needs math? So it's coming in hot and heavy real quick. At 6, I always knew like it would come back around, right? But like, not yet, but here we are. So,
I think this moment's a lot. You are teaching those girls incredible lessons about fearlessness and taking risks and believing in yourself and confidence and all the good things. So,
That's awesome. All right, let's dig into
the topic at hand. This month, we're talking all about driving urgency for change. Now, in your profile, you describe yourself, I love this description, as a daily challenger of the status quo with a strategic yet rebellious mindset. Like, that is so badass. I love that. So what is one piece of status quo advice around driving urgency that you disagree with?
Gosh, so many people think that you have to do so many things in order to be successful. It's that whole working smarter versus harder. Where do you weigh that, right? The whole, let's put in all these hours and pouring into things that are not going to generate revenue, or they're not going to be beneficial to my well-being, or what is filling my cup personally, what's filling my pocket, you know, on a professional note, what's benefiting me in all aspects, right? The status quo, but this whole, you know, this is how you work and this is the way things are done. This is how you are supposed to. There's so many opinions. All advice can be heard. It doesn't have to be taken. And I'm such a firm believer in that. But to show up is simply the first step. You show up and then you figure out, okay, where do I go to find where my buyers live within this, you know, sales aspect of sales world that we all are in, and those who are not in the sales world, you know, all in all, you're selling every day, whoever you are, wherever you're at, you really essentially are, you're selling yourself to even, okay, why should you even respond to me? Why should, you know, anything, but it's, you know, the whole working harder or smarter, where do you allocate that? How do you figure out exactly what that means? And learning how to be strategic with a rebellious mindset. Was, I mean, I wrote that, not even thinking, and I read it back and I thought, oh, I think I like that, because it just kind of was like, I accidentally wrote it kind of thing, but it was so much what I do because it's taking that risk. If you don't take a risk, there's no reward, there's no lesson. That would really be the biggest thing, is so where's the line between working harder or smarter? And there's so many ways to work smarter.
Yes, that's a lesson I think all of us who started in sales, it's very rare, I think, you learn that right off the bat. It's like you get to that breaking point where you're like, it can't be this hard. It can't be this hard. And then you realize, working smarter is where it's at.
Yeah.
So talk to us a little bit about how, like, think back to when you were first starting to sell, right? You're trying to drive urgency for change with your customers, right? We all are when we're selling something. When you first started selling, how did you used to try to drive urgency? And how, if at all, do you think differently about driving urgency now?
Yeah, I think the big thing when I first started is, you know, driving urgency was the whole, okay, I've got to match this value prop per persona. I know that for a fact. I know that that's where I've got to start. I realized early on, you've got to match that EQ, IQ absolutely together. So when I learned, the urgency was when I could read the room and figure out how they were acting. And I could, even on the phone, hearing how, you know, if it's someone who is not from, has these Southern roots like me, where, you know, we can talk about, you know, SEC football or whatever. It was like in Massachusetts, they're like, go, go, go. We're talking fast. Like, great. I've got to just kind of keep up with this. And like, let's try that urgency in that kind of way, because I realize you've got a lot going on. But I never dismissed the fact that my time was equally as important as theirs. Even if they were CEO, everybody goes to sleep with, you know, without their title. Everybody puts their pants on the same way. Let's just acknowledge that. Nobody is their title. You aren't that. Titles matter, sure, but you aren't your title. So no one's better than anyone if you have that mindset. So I really honed in on that, knowing that if I put myself in a position to think the latter of thinking, okay, people are better than me, I'm just an SDR, you know, mm-hmm. If I had that mindset, I was failing myself and my kids. And that's not, I'm not one to put myself in a position to fail. You know, you got to put yourself in the right place. Even if you take chances, like I'm doing right now, of saying, here we go, let's figure it out, because I know there's greener pastures somewhere. Where? Don't know, but there are. So that's the big thing with the driving urgency. Then knowing EQ, IQ, how to read that room, you know, and the person on the other line. Then for now, it's the, I feel like people either sped up or slowed down these days to where they think they're going to go full force, go, 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 10x all of our lives forever, then 10x again. Like, ooh, breathe, right? Like, I have to tell myself that for sure. But it's a, okay, breathe, because that's not the way you have to do things. It's a, let's back up. And that's what being a RevOps taught me too, is let's back up a little bit and let's really reevaluate the root of where we're at. And then asking the right questions drives urgency, absolutely, because they're telling you what's going on. It's like, okay, so if you don't do this, what happens? You can read when people are trying to drive urgency in the way that's like, whoa, chill out. Like, you're just trying to throw things down my throat. Like, I know what you're doing, so stop it. Goes back to working harder. I mean, working smart, not harder. Working smarter, not harder, for sure.
Yeah. No, I want to go back to something you talked about, which was the EQ versus IQ, because I relate to that a lot. Like in my earlier part of my career, right, I worked for corporate executive board. We were a research-based firm. So everything we studied was like backed by data. And so that's how I learned, right? So then I would go call heads of sales and I'd have conversations with them. And I'd be like, well, the data tells us, and this is really important, failing to realize not all, like, I'm not going to generalize all heads of sales, but plenty of heads of sales are not data-driven people. They operate off their gut. And I'm trying to build urgency. That's sales people,
right?
Right. Yeah. I'm trying to be like, you need to do it because the data suggests you need to. And they're looking at me like, I don't care at all. Like, I want to have that like, gut what's feeling. Data?
Like, I don't care. We do like, we just like go off a whim. We're like, dial, go, run.
Yes.
It's interesting. The EQ, IQ, if you can talk to people and have still a high level conversation, but no, I can bring a little humor into this. I can have a little fun here. I can also put this person's guard down. If I am myself,
yep.
I mean, I'm a fan of saying, you know, asking people like, how are you? Like, are you having a good day? Because I'm having like the worst, you know? And they're like, oh, really? Like, they're like kind of thrown off, right? But it's a, let's be human, right? Yeah. Like, let's like actually just talk and have that EQ of like, it's okay to be normal and be human. And like, that's the whole takeaway of this whole podcast, be human, be normal, right? Like, have EQ, IQ, take that, people, please. Run with it with all your might, because it's such an important thing. And then is that, you know, let's bounce back too with like, what do you think? Like, there's the skill, then there's the talent. You know, do you think that's a, you know, EQ can be taught as well? Is it, you know, I do believe that EQ is something that is an innate thing that people are naturally born with. But do you think it can be taught? I have kind of conflicting. I'm not quite sure. I think so. If you want to be coachable and taught to be, you know, have that.
Yeah, I think it all comes down to your point to coachability, right? Like, I remember when I first started hearing about curiosity in sales, and I was like, I don't understand what that has to do with anything, right? And I just like, dismissed it.
As,
yeah, like some soft thing. And I'm like, whatever. And then I realized, my goodness, curiosity is one of those things that sometimes it's almost like a light switch. If you don't think you know you need to use it and you don't know how to express it and use it strategically, it just comes off as like rapid fire questions. But really becoming a master at being genuinely curious about your customer's business is a freaking superpower. But like, I didn't know I needed it. And so I think there's different aspects of EQ that like, I don't know, can you be like an honest person? I think that's probably a light switch thing. Like, I don't think you train someone to be honest, but I think there's, to your point, there's probably definite aspects of it that are coachable.
There's copywriting, right? Like that's a huge like skill that people are either really great at, yeah, and people are fearful of it, but it's also, you can be taught for sure if you want to be good. You know, I think that's one of those lights. Like, okay, do I want it? Do I not? Like, oh, how do I do that? You know, all boils down to coachability for sure.
Absolutely. So let's talk about creating urgency in this way. So when I say creating urgency, I think what that stirs up in a lot of sellers' mind is like, hey, I'm close to the finish line. It's a late stage thing I do to try to get that buyer to move through the balance of the buying process and sign. I am curious, what is your take or your observations about what sellers can be doing much earlier in the process to actually start manufacturing earlier or urgency there?
That's a great question, because it is where people are like end of the month, end of the quarter, freaking out. And then people are discounting and it's like, oh, now I'm questioning everything because you're clearly desperate. So, you know, backing up to what you're saying, it's early on, I think one of the biggest things, nobody's going to work with you if they don't trust you, first and foremost. So having the earlier talks with even bringing like, you know, your SEM, you know, all of that, you're having the right people within the right conversations earlier on, first and foremost, instilling that trust, showing them that you can help them. But the relevant portion of all things is like, you have got to, what everybody says, right? You're never done with the discovery. So continuously bringing top of mind, they might go to town for a week, like, you know, whatever it may be, you come back to that conversation. Hey, so let's reiterate exactly what they said. Make notes on what they said verbatim. Say that. The last time we talked, you said this. So remind them of that like exact problem they're having, because people will forget what they, you know, they just got you their vacation, or it's like focused on this, focused on that. There's other things that they've got to be doing within their organization. So where they, and then that goes with like the service-based selling or the product-based, right? There's a need and there's a want. And then there's the, we need to have the sense, or this is going to better us, but do we really, it's a want and it makes sense. How do you drive that? I think there's two factors there of driving the urgency. You know, for service-based, I think it's there's so much more of a need in that sense than the want. Because these companies, they're trying to look good for stakeholders, you know, they're trying to look for those invested. But then those companies saying, all right, well, what are you doing with the money we gave you, right? Like, okay, let's bring that top of mind. Okay, you want to look good for your investors, right? So we need to go ahead and get this rolling. So, and then you make suggestions on what you think is the very best thing. So based off of what has been done prior, what I've helped others do in the same position, we need to go ahead and do this, this, this. Have like three things that you're going to do. Doing my due diligence of knowing, okay, this person is this person because this, 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 you know, great. Let's drive that a little bit and leverage that because the trust factor is there. Let me do this. Here's, let's go ahead and get so-and-so on the call too. They know exactly the ins and outs, ups and downs, all things we're discussing. I don't want this to be something lingering over you and keeping you up at night, whether it is or isn't, but it's going to be beneficial. And I have no doubt about that. Referencing other companies who are doing the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. In the bandwagon effect, right? There are people who are like, oh, should I be doing that? And three trends, you know, with the product-based selling, the urgency there really is such a focus on, okay, is this going to bring you more revenue or not? If you can do, and asking those questions of like, if this can do this for your team or for you specifically, is it worth you starting off your next month having this? Silence. And silence is the killer, right? It's your greatest weapon. I'm not good at it at all. I'll just throw that out there. Yeah. And you know what? I use that to my advantage too, that I'm like, hey, listen, I know I'm talking to you. What are your thoughts? Share. And people are their guards down because I've already said plenty of things that are like, what? But it's the, okay, so what I think we should do, you know, and then they'll go into kind of a little bit more depth and I'll kind of shift and say, okay, so based off of you saying XYZ, repeat it. Keep repeating what they're saying because people, there's focus that's everywhere. So it goes for both ways, you know?
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah. Just urgency is so, I mean, this is a great topic. I mean, it really is.
So we're all like, we're always pursuing urgency. I think I want to go back to something you said because I think one, it's such a brilliant observation. And two, it hasn't come up on any of the conversations I've had with other guests this month about it, which is this idea of like the forget factor, right? Like it's mm-hmm. our deal. It is the most important thing to us as sellers. But to your point you made around like, maybe they went on vacation. Maybe they had some like bomb that dropped on them. And we go, and I used to do this all the time. I'm sure I still do. I go into that call and I'm thinking like, we're both at the same like excitement level about this problem and the solution. And you walk in and it almost feels like you're talking to a stranger. And so
yeah,
I think
they don't know anything that happened.
Yeah.
Last
year. Yeah. Like being intentional about what you said about regardless if they're there or not, just going in and structuring every call to be like, we're going to start with where we were last time because I'm one of probably 10 calls you're having today. Like, I love that. I think it's really important for us to remember that sometimes we're a little bit more excited than maybe our prospects are. And it's not a bad thing. It's just the reality of it.
Right. Like you're putting that money and getting that deal over the finish line. Like all of that is way more important to you than them at that moment because it's still in this baby phase. Right. Unless they're like, I need this. I want this. You are amazing. Let's do it all right now. We're middle time. That's far and few in between, if that's ever a thing. having the right expectations prior to the call and even setting things up before, you know, prior to the call, having it. And I think it's really reading people and how they are, if they're kind of on a whim sort of folks, or they're very, very detail oriented. And that's the EQ, knowing how to read how that person is, because that person might want this list of what your agenda is going to be covering that call. Then you can literally verbatim put, this is what we're doing because this is what you said. So referencing back to and holding people accountable to what they say is so key. I mean, they'll forget what they said. You didn't. So like, obviously, there's going to be the transcript, you know, whatever you're transcribing your calls and whatnot, if you're using going wingman, all that, whatever it may be. But if you're not, and say it's a quick, like, you know, let's touch base, quick cell phone call, you know, whatever, which I think those are great to have touch points too. Like, hey, let's do this. I know I'm super unorthodox with things. If that's reading the room, let me shoot you a text if you're cool with it. I'm just going to remind you, like, kind of this combo, and let's have this, like, set time we're going to meet. But either way, I'll give you a call on this time, like, this day, and then we'll just kind of dig into what we talked about exactly, just kind of a feeler of where we're going from here, just to make sure we're meeting, you know, getting you to where you want to go, which is XYZ. So then you've got that personal relationship going.
Totally. And I think you make a really good point around just, you've got to understand who's on the other side of the table. Like, some people might like a text, some people might hate a text, some people might like a video and they're never going to read an email. And like, what I can take away from everything you're saying is you're very intentional about reading the person on the other side, and you're not bucketing them into like, you're ahead of sales, so you look like this, or you're ahead of RevOps, so you look like this. Like, you're reading the individual and you're tailoring your response to it, which is like, as you describe it, I can imagine what it might feel like to be a customer of yours or a prospect of yours.
You know, that's the whole working smarter aspect. That's the strategy behind, you don't have to have this massive list of people that you're targeting to really win and win big. When you have full focus on a smaller list and these individuals, not just companies, but like the individual themselves, really get to know who that is, right? Like, it's hard for someone who's an SDR, right? Because that's, but I did it because I decided, okay, they might say, okay, you didn't meet the dials that you did say, but my numbers are still speaking as though I did. So, you know, that's the rebellion thing. That's the rebellion that comes in, but it's strategy, but there was rebellion mixed in because I was like, fold me if you will, but my numbers say otherwise.
Yes.
So, you know, you've got to take chances. Those are the game changers, right? Like, what is that quote? Like, well-behaved women rarely make history, whatever. Yep. That's what it is. But it's so true. It's like, when you do challenge the way things are done, those are the people that you remember and think, oh, you're changing the game. You're changing the way sales is, the way it looks, the way it's been done, the way people are, I mean, buyers are smarter than ever right now. So it's, they can go make their own decisions. They can go and find what they want. But do you want to be the face that they're associating things with, where they're like, oh, I know this girl. Oh yeah, Amelia, she's the one who helped me just have this connection to someone who helped me. You should talk to her with your needs. That's the whole full circle of planting the right seeds.
Absolutely. And that matters right now, because if you look at how buyers learn, they're looking to people they trust and they're consulting them. And we as sellers are often like the last step if we are not part of that upfront learning process. And I think that's a great illustration of that.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've got time for just two more questions. This one is one we asked all of our guests, and you can have some fun with it. The question is this. If you can take anyone in sales out to lunch, sales is however you want to define it, living, dead, whatever. We've had some really fun answers here. Who would it be and why?
Okay, they have to be in sales.
But someone said like Socrates one time. So like, it's, you can, though. You can say, you can define sales.
I would,
sales
that'd be everywhere. Boring. That'd be boring. I would be boring. I'd be like, can you spell that? Like, can you spelling bee challenge? Like, I would be, it would be too much. Like, no, I'm going straight. I mean, okay. Sales wise, I mean, oh gosh, this is tricky. We're going to be rebellious and go against your rules really quick. Okay. We're going Joe Rogan. If I'm going out to lunch with somebody, because ask the most brilliant questions to people. And I don't know if he's, you know, somewhere else than this guy, right? But like, and he's like looking at people like this, but he comes back with the most brilliant questions. And I'm like, whoa, that is like spot on. Like, and they're really thought provoking and there's humor behind it. And it's, you know, that's the whole curiosity portion of things. Like, I want to know how to do that. And you know, if I become a Jen Allen one day, you know, if I can podcast and you do things like you, right? It's a, I'm going to ask the right questions and know how to do things where it piques that curiosity of me having to think about things, and it's mutually beneficial, right? It's this, let's help other people, but it's helping me learn more about my craft and what I'm trying to do by showing up here and like joining you. And it's, it all comes back around. Everything does. So, sales wise, this is tricky. And I don't know why this is so tricky, because everyone is in sales. And some,
I think your original answer is badass. Like Joe Rogan, like no one has said that yet. Stick with that.
No one said that.
No one said that. Because I think
you have all
everybody comes from sort of a different angle. Like it's a, and the way that your why behind it is killer. I think it's a, stick with that.
I'm looking at my books up there right now thinking, okay, who wrote something that I'd be like, I want to talk to. I would love, I mean, okay, I've been reading Thinking in Bed, Annie Duke, who was the professional poker player.
Oh.
And so this book, okay, amazing. I'm totally recommending this because there's the storytelling portion of it that is killer. And it's learning how to think strategically without knowing all the things that are going on.
Ooh.
Super smart. It's really good.
Such a good parallel to sales.
But it's, yeah, it's like making smarter decisions when you don't have all the facts. And so it's a really good parallel. So I would talk, I mean, I'm like, I don't know, a third of the way in, if that's like, maybe it gets really bad. Who knows? I don't think so. But I'm like suggesting it to the world. But it's so far killer.
Awesome. So, okay. We got a lunch date.
Me and Rogan.
Yeah. Lunch date for three. I love it.
Yeah. You can come too. Four. It'll be great.
Yes. I'm in. Okay. And then last but not least, I'm sure there are like so many more Amelia fans after listening to this episode. Where can our listeners find you and learn more about you and keep in touch with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am all over LinkedIn. I'm in like multiple Slack groups, like whatever, GoFundMe, I'm filling GoFundMe and a genius all across the board, GoFundMe. Go to my LinkedIn, go to my about section. I've got my calendar. Like if I can help you, that's my goal. Selling is helping, planting the seeds. That's what I want to do. You know, if I can be a champion in someone's success, that's what I want to do because those begin and comes full circle. And I'm currently, stay tuned, everyone. I know you're on the edge of your seats, but good things are to come with where I end up. And I have big plans on what's next. Where? Don't know. But what I can accomplish, I'm really excited about with the creation of certain things that I just am going to deliver because I can and I will. And I'm pumped to do so. So with the right people by my side, for sure. So that's it. Reach out. I would love to chat with people and just say, hey, for sure. And faster. Let's meet at faster people. It just comes out before faster. I don't know.
I know. That's a good question. Hopefully you'll meet Amelia regardless if you heard this or not. But
next year, faster. Yeah. Okay.
Plant those seeds early. I love it. Listen, thank you so much. I am so excited that we finally got the chance to talk. I am so excited to watch you shine and grow and continue to do all the amazing things. Thank you so much for being here with us today. And listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Thanks, as always, for joining us here on Winning the Challenger Sale. For the tools and resources you need to close more deals, head over to challengerinc.com.